This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. On the show today with me is a man with all the odds against him, but with sheer passion and determination, he's gone on and made a name for himself and doing wonders in the space of autonomous vehicles. Mohammad Hikmat, the executive chairman of HMI Technologies, started his business repairing computers after leaving war-torn Iraq during the 91 Gulf War. With literally nothing, he has now found himself as New Zealand's EY Entrepreneur of the Year for 2019. Today, we'll be talking about his journey so far. Mohammad Hikmat, welcome to the show. Perhaps we can start a little bit about yourself and the nature of your current business.
Okay, as you know, my name is Mohammad Hikmat. I'm the executive chairman of HMI Technologies and Omeo. HMI Technologies is a almost 20 years old company that deals with the ITS and infrastructure for intelligent transport systems. This is ITS. I'm the up to late last year, for 10 years, I've been on the World Congress Board of Directors. I've chaired the ITS Asia Pacific. I've been president for ITS New Zealand. And that's for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. Now, 5 years back, we used to do a lot, and we're still utilizing a lot of what we call them VMSs, variable message signs, devices that communicates with drivers. And that is a business that we have, and it's a very stable business. But we started to think about, okay, now we have this, and these are devices that communicates with drivers. How about in the future when there will be no drivers? What will replace those devices and how we can deal with that? So we started to look ahead, and we started to say that we need to bring autonomous vehicles so that we can deal with them, so that our devices can communicate with the vehicle now, because drivers will need something to see, but autonomous vehicles doesn't need to see anything. It can happen, between the communication can happen without need of LEDs on anything visible. And we brought a vehicle, and we started with a joint consortium with Christchurch International Airport, with the government, with the Ministry of Transport, the New Zealand Transport Agency. And we made a consortium. We started to want to study this. However, where we brought the vehicle from, they told us when we came to say, let's integrate the vehicle, let's talk about how we can make an entire ecosystem. They said to us, no, you can't touch the vehicle. This is a standalone vehicle. You get it as you get it, and you cannot really deal with it. And we went around the world to look for other partners who can help us to do the same thing. We couldn't. So we sat down together and we say, come on, guys, we're going to do our own vehicle. And in 2016, we decided to start to do our vehicle. And in 2017, September, we demonstrated three vehicles in Christchurch. The vehicles were platooning. That means they are following each other, and they were stopping for the traffic light. They were sharing the track with the tram and other cars. And we've managed to gain a lot of, we've conquered the first flag, the first time in the world to do something at that time. This is 2017. And since then, we started, our company called HMI, Human Machine Interface. And we called the new company Omeo, which is HMI with two O's, like two wheels from the side. So it became Omeo, O-H-M-I-O. And since then, Omeo started. HMI and Omeo is around, an international company. We have offices in New Zealand, Australia, China, and now in Korea. And we are opening in the United States and Europe.
Now, you know, Hikmet, we really got to take a step back here because, you know, no one it doesn't sound as easy as, you know, like, all right, guys, it seems like no one is able to build us this vehicle. Let's build it in our, you know, ourselves. And within a year, you know, have your own vehicle. Talk to me about that process within the year, the challenges that you had and getting, you know, a team to build a vehicle like the one that you requested, just that no one else could build.
Yeah, well, you are right. First of all, you need to determine. You need to have that spark in you. You know, you need to set the goal and say, I'm going to do it. And then you just don't look back. You just keep looking ahead. This is where I need to be. This is where I'm going. And I'm not going to waste a second looking anywhere else. I'm just going to concentrate on my focus on my target. That's a key point. That's a key point to be there. Number two, we are an R&D company. So HMI from the 2000 until now is based on R&D development. We have devices, ITS, the Intelligent Transport System devices. If you look at autonomous vehicles, and this is where you start to simplify things. When you look at autonomous vehicles, for us, it's a computer with wheels. So we have a computer that has wheels. And we started to develop our own systems where we start to do the first thing, which is very important, called the localization. And localization means that at any given time, you need to know where you are a little tolerance that you can have up to 10 mil or 20 mil maximum. And the other thing is the obstacle detection. You need to know the surrounding around you, and you need to understand whether this is okay to drive on or this is not. These are the two key points that you need to have in order to move an object around and start to do that. And so we've assigned the team. We've got an AI team that sat down. We got our engineering team, and we start to work in parallel, developing all those. We also followed a very useful way. We've looked at the mobile phone, and the mobile phone is a platform where you make the mobile with the. For example, you can have the mobile to communicate with the cells. It's a cellular phone and send data and receive data and send text. However, this is not what you use the mobile phone. You use the mobile phone for many other applications. You use it for dairy, you use it for banking, you use it for social media, for communication, for any other things other than making calls. And the same thing we want to do with the vehicle. We say the vehicle, autonomous vehicle, it can go from A to B, and this is the basic, like the mobile phone making the calls. But what else you can add on that? Mm-hmm. So the vehicle needs to interact with others, needs to really add on, and you can start to put modular system because technology moves fast. So we allowed to initiate the platform, and then we put modules one by one on top of it, and we can replace the module once a better technology comes in. For example, we use LIDARs for detecting, these are sensors to detect objects and the distances from us using laser beams. If something comes better than the LIDAR, all what we need to do is to remove that module and add another module which comes with a new technology. So I would say the vehicle would be at its worst condition at the time now, and every day after it's going to improve. Mm. And this is the way that we took the methodology that we took forward.
You know, Hikmet, we live in the year 2020, and I guess, you know, before the start of this new decade, we were promised, flying cars and the future of, you know, the year 2020 was going to be game changing. I know we don't have flying cars, and I know you didn't make that promise to all of us. How far do you think have we progressed in the last few years when it comes to autonomous technologies? Because, you know, we've also seen, I guess, you know, real testing being done and also, you know, live, you know, example and case studies that are, you know, around the world, not just in New Zealand, even down south in Singapore and even here in Malaysia as well. How far do you think we've progressed in the last 5 years, you would say?
Okay. Let's talk about statistics a little bit. We have the vehicles and the autonomous vehicles problems are not the technology. It's not the technology. Technology is never a problem. Hmm. We have the technology now for autonomous vehicles to move on and to do everything autonomously. However, the biggest problem now is having human drivers around the vehicles when you drive. Human drivers are responsible. Human error is responsible for 93% of the accidents that would happen to vehicles out there. And this is when you come to the number of every 23 seconds in the world, someone dies because of human error. And we lose that person. So that's 150. I'll give you some more rise. So this problem just makes us wonder how we can. So the biggest challenge now, how we can put the autonomous vehicle next to a human driver that you cannot predict how they will drive. It's easy to put autonomous vehicle with a road code that you assign the vehicle needs to do A, B, C, D, E, and that's it. The vehicle will keep doing it like a machine all the time. But that will never really happen, and that will never in the real world. In the real world, the human will start to do something else, and then when they do something else, we start to make, accident will happen. We heard all about the Uber accident that happened in Phoenix just 18 months ago or 2 years ago. And that's, if you look at it, it's never the fault of the autonomous vehicle. Someone just jumped in front of the vehicle, and by no way the vehicle could stop or doing anything. So that combined environment is the problem. The solution that we came up with, we said that we are not going to do a car that's going to replace the current vehicle with the driver. We said we were going to go to level four. Level four is a tram that goes on virtual tracks. So it's autonomous tram, and the track, instead of putting tracks on the ground, we put software or soft tracks, virtual tracks, what we call them waypoints. And we say to the vehicle, just keep going one after the other, these waypoints, just keep going on them. So the vehicle cannot deviate from that track. They will stop when there is an obstacle, and they will move when it's safe to do so. And we believe that this is an important step before we go to the vehicle that does everything and do everything by itself until it is safe to be an environment where there are human beings next to the autonomous vehicle. This is where the problem that we have at the moment.
I'm speaking to Mohammad Hikmet of HMI Technologies, and we'll continue in just a bit. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and with me today is Mohammad Hikmet, the Executive Chairman of HMI Technologies. Fascinating story so far. Hikmet, I love the way you think and the way you go about in solving problems. Could you explain a little bit about how a former pizza delivery man and an Iraqi immigrant who really just, you know, started out from scratch, and you're now New Zealand's EY Entrepreneur of the Year? Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you've come to this stage.
Okay, let's clear out about the pizza delivery. I'm not an original pizza delivery person. I've delivered pizzas as sometimes when I came to New Zealand. I have a bachelor's degree in science and agricultural science and plant protection. I had it from Iraq. And then all my life until came to New Zealand, I'm working with computers. So I was fixing computers, doing computers. But when we came to New Zealand, I had I had family to feed. And I had to catch up with all these years back. You know, I just resetted my life. I came somewhere where even language was a barrier at that time, and I had to really establish everything from the beginning. So I had to, at the very beginning of my life, I enrolled in the university, AUT, Auckland University of Technology, to study electronics for there. I was going 6 o'clock in the morning to get a cheap parking, and I stay in my car, study until it's 8 o'clock, where I go to the lectures. I finish at 12 o'clock. I come back. And in the afternoon, I start to fix computers. I go to you know, carry a bag and go to fix computer at various places. At 6:30 in the evening, I go to the pizza shop and I start to deliver pizza. And I stayed delivering pizza for 9 months until I reached a point where my computer business really started to pay enough. So I didn't need to deliver pizza anymore. So my point is at stages, you need to do what it takes without really losing your focus from your target. The target is important. We keep focusing on the target, but meanwhile, if it needs something, you need to do it. And I had to do 3 shifts a day to work from 6 a.m. in the morning until 11:30 at night. I had to do it for 2 years, but after that, I'm done with it, and I've got the rewards. I'm very happy about it. So this is how it developed. Yeah.
Why is New Zealand, in your opinion, such a great place, you know, to enable, you know, business or entrepreneurs like yourselves to flourish? Because no one would relate New Zealand as a great place for entrepreneurship. But yet, you know, hearing your story, it's not just a great place for retirement, but also to start a business.
Okay, let me talk about this triangle thing. And, you know, I always say that when you start a business, you are like starting a fire. This is a good fire, the fire of business, the fire of productivity of the business. So you need 3 elements to start a good fire. One of them is the fuel, and the second one is the oxygen, and third one is the spark. Without missing any one of them, there will be no fire. So fuel is the business around you, and how you can, you know, the demands of others, and how you can just address it. The oxygen, I would say, this is the environment around you. The oxygen for the business was New Zealand. New Zealand is like oxygen. It has a plenty of oxygen, and it's all the right environment, stability. You need to, you know, when it comes to business, you just concentrate on your business. And the third one is the spark, which is the own person. You need to be an entrepreneur. You need to be a good business-minded person to start that spark, utilizing the oxygen around you and the fuel. And New Zealand is one of the best places in the world that could have those three elements all together. And you, if you work hard, you can really get real, real good results out of them.
You know, and you talked about, you know, being entrepreneur is really about, you know, having that focus and, you know, and really, I guess, you know, an eagle eye vision into, you know, trying to achieve things. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges that every business has faced is in the year 2020 with the COVID-19 pandemic. And a lot of businesses are struggling at this point of time, let alone, you know, trying to keep focus or, you know, trying to keep some of their goals and visions. Everything had, you know, basically been gone out of the window. Tell me a little bit about the challenge that, you know, you faced, and also maybe some advice that you could give to entrepreneurs that are really facing a difficult time to keep their lights on for their business.
Let me just say something. Whenever there is a challenge, there is the opportunity. And these are the best opportunity comes when there is a big challenge. This is my role in life. And, you know, it's proven to be right. Imagine now COVID-19. Everyone is suffering from it. More than the majority of us would say, oh, the situation is so bad. The economy is bad. Is everything bad? So we sit down. We keep our heads down. we wind down the business, we don't cut our spending, we don't do anything, and we say, let's see what I'll preserve every dollar that I have. And they'll say, I'm not going to do anything from now until I get to see what's going to happen in the future. Entrepreneurs should never do that. Entrepreneurs, they look ahead and say, while everyone is sitting down, their head down, all what I need to do is to keep standing up. And here I am on top of everyone else. And I can utilize the opportunity. And I'll give you an example of that. Before, one of the challenges that we have, and we take our autonomous vehicle, people will say, are you taking jobs out of the drivers? Are you going to, these vehicles are going to take jobs away. We don't want these vehicles. Sometimes we have this negativity surrounded with the vehicle. So when COVID-19 came in, we said, okay, now you have to deal with the people in quarantine basis. You need to take them from one place to other place without exposing the driver to any additional risk. So if you don't need to have a driver, if the vehicle can sterilize itself, here we are. We have a solution for COVID-19 where we move people when they arrive at the airport to the quarantine areas. If I tell anyone about this solution 6 months earlier, they would laugh at us. It would be a joke. why would I need this? Now, it's a big solution and it works well. So here we are with this challenge of COVID-19. We've created an opportunity for such a system that runs. So look there. There is always that opportunity that you can have. All what you need to do is keep standing so that you will have better visibility. Everyone head is down. You can see even further. It's not as crowded as before. So you can, if you keep your eagerness and will to continue forward, things gonna look much better, much easier, and it's the time for a good business to grow during these times. During hard times, it's a time for a good business to grow.
What does it mean for you winning the EY New Zealand Entrepreneur of the Year 2019 award? And you've come a long way as well, and really good advices so far. Getting this kind of recognition and awards, what does it mean for you personally?
Well, all my life I keep looking forward. It's like going up a mountain, and your eyes is always on to the tip of the mountain. You want to continue climbing. You don't have time, but it's so great at sometimes where someone comes to you and say, "Well, Mohammed, look how far you climbed so far," and it was really great. It was a life changer for me. It allowed me also to it allowed the business to be recognized. It allowed me to understand myself even better. And since I had this, which is last year, I started to really look at how can I help others. And with this recognition, I'm now much more capable of with such a title, I'm more able to provide that kind of help to people around me, to entrepreneurs who are not yet discovered. I've been discovered as an entrepreneur and recognized as an entrepreneur after my 50s. I hope that we could get to recognize entrepreneurs at 30s or 20s. And with that, we could, I'll give you an example on the World Entrepreneur of the Year. The average wealth of companies are 500 million. Imagine if we get 500 million people, if we can discover two or three or four, we are talking about $1 to $2 billion of how many jobs of those, how many people you can help with that. So it is time for me to help others as well. I understand that this is a recognition that comes with a lot of a big responsibility to say this is now time to assist others. And this is not only about you, Mohammed.
You know, with great success, I'm sure there were also failures that, you know, along the way where you had to learn. And before we, you know, we wrap up this interview, I guess my final question here would be, you know, are there kind of like, you know, moments that stood out for you that was, you know, in a way you would label it as a failure? Do you label things as a failure or almost failed kind of moments in your life?
There are moments where it turns your life. Not necessarily to be failure. Failure is a step towards success. It's never be a failure like a failure. There's someone who said that that I wish that everyone fails write a book because it tells us where not to go. But one of the turning points that I had, that was 2011, when I saw the big earthquake in Japan, where it was a tsunami, followed by a tsunami, and people were driving towards the water, towards the tsunami itself. And unfortunately, that we lost over there more than 20,000 people. They only got killed because they didn't know, they didn't have the information where to go. Since then, I said, okay, with information to drivers, you can change things and you can save lives. And since then, we started the ITS, Intelligent Transport Systems. We've dedicated our work towards the towards providing this information and improve the communication and intelligent transport systems. Another turning point that we had when we said that autonomous vehicles are coming and there are this number of people that are dying, 1.35 million people, they die every year in the world. That's at 23 seconds. Every 23 seconds, someone dies in the world. I put a goal in my ahead of me. I said, if we can make the 23 seconds, 24 seconds, that is 150 people that we can save every day. That's 55,000 people a year. By just moving the frequency 1 second, we shift it 1 second. And that's, you know, we can also, 1 second can save 18 million injured people as well. So I think it's a turning point knowing this, and it's a really good initiative and something that keep you ahead to achieve the goal when you see that you can really save 150 people a day. This is something that give you very, very big satisfaction. Yeah.
Mohammed Hikmet, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you on the show today. And, you know, I wish you all the best and all the success, you know, one can achieve, you know, in the near future as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
That was Mohammed Hikmet, the executive chairman of HMI Technologies, talking about his personal journey so far. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and you can download the podcast now if you've missed any parts of this conversation. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.